Blog Talk Radio.
Good to be with you again this evening as we get into another broadcast this evening. And I'd like to say we're glad to have each one listening that's listening. And we'd like to say that it's good to be here tonight as we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want, if you've got a prayer request tonight and you'd like to email it in, my email address is eddiebolton@att.net. That's eddiebolton@att.net. And I've got a couple of callers on the line, and I want to get to this 706-975-6042. Come in and tell us who you are and where you're at.
I'm afraid I'm in Thomaston.
Where are you at, sister? Obey
Thomaston,
the Lord.
Georgia.
Obey the Lord.
Did you hear me?
No, ma'am.
Thomaston, Georgia.
Thomaston, Georgia. We're glad to have you on with us tonight.
Thank you.
Let's get 770-584-4969. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're at. Obey the Lord.
Brother, it's Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Obey the Lord, brother.
Did you want to let any of those other calls go ahead?
Well, if you want to, we've got one just before you, and we got one that just called in, and we can get them. Or if you want to go ahead,
go ahead and get the ones that called in, and I'll go next.
All right, let's get this 937-831-0477. Tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, this is Brother Green. Can you hear me?
Yeah. How you, Brother Green?
Doing good. We're on our way to Georgia on the road right now. But it's good to be with you tonight. And I think you're preaching on somebody said they might be preaching on the purpose of God.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, his purpose. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know what everybody's going to talk about tonight, but I'm glad that Christ came to redeem us from the curse. Praise God that he became a curse for us. That you know, to take that curse away. You know, man had fallen in the garden, and they had went away from God, and they had sinned in the garden. And the curse came upon us, and, you know, it was placed in that beautiful garden, but they couldn't stay because of sin. And when they sinned, God put them out of the garden. You know, God won't allow sin in his presence. And when they failed God and they partook of that tree, of that fruit, man had a great fall. And there had to be a way to bring man back to God. And, you know, ever since man sinned in the garden, God has been working. And he's been trying to bring man back. And he came, he had a plan that you know, one day that there'd be another man that would come. And this man would be called the second Adam, or the last Adam. And this man would die on a tree, and he would hang on a tree. See, it was a tree in the garden that took us away from God. And I believe that serpent was in that tree that day. And Eve came by that tree, and God had said, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but you can't eat of that tree that's in the midst of the garden. You can't eat of that tree, for the day you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. And the devil come along to Eve, and she looked at the tree and the fruit of that tree, and the devil said, you will not surely die. See, he lied to her right there in that garden. But I thank God Christ came. And one day he died on a tree there at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And he hung between heaven and earth. He told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was telling Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, he was telling Nicodemus that here's the way that I'm going to die. I'm going to be lifted up, and I'm going to be hanging between heaven and earth. And, you know, he's the bridge back to God. Christ is that way back to God. He said, amen. I am the way there. I believe it's in John chapter 14. They said, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I'm the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. You know, Adam walked with God in that beautiful garden, and he had everything that he needed in that garden. But you know what? One day, sin separated him. And it wasn't, you know, a lot of sins. It was only one. And I tell you, one sin can separate you from God. And I tell you, if you got sin in your life, you know, there's a place to come, and it's at the foot of that cross where Christ died. You know, when Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, you know, they had to come no matter where they was at in the camp of Israel. I think somebody said there was probably six million Jews came out of Egypt. And you think about what kind of a city that would be when you set up all your tabernacles and or your tents, you know, and you would have a huge city, you know what I'm saying. And Moses made that serpent, that brazen serpent, put it upon a pole. They had to go to where that serpent was. They couldn't just stay where they was at. They might have had to go clear across town, you might say, across that city, wherever they was at there. And they may have had to walk a mile or two. We don't know. But they had to get to where that brazen serpent was. And, you know, you've got to get to where Christ is today. You can't, you know, keep going to the places that you're going where you ain't finding him. Now, I'm talking to people out there tonight that you're not a Christian. That's who I'm talking to right now. And I'm talking to people, maybe you are a Christian, but maybe you've got cold on God and you're not going to the house of God no more. And the Bible said that one day we'll have given account of what we have done. And we'll have to stand before God, and we'll have to answer for the things that we've done. But I'm glad that there's still a remedy, praise God.
Amen.
There's still a remedy for sin, cleansing, you know, tide, and that's Christ, the blood of Jesus cleansed us from all sin. The Bible says, as we fellowship one with another. And I'm just glad to be a part today of the kingdom of God. And, you know, the Bible says there one place, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. You know, God said we're sinners. And God said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there was none righteous, no, not one. See, without the blood of Jesus, we're not righteous. Without his forgiveness,
amen,
we're still lost. And
amen.
I'm so glad that one day I made peace with God. And you can make peace with God out there if you're not where you need to be. If you've got, you know, there's an old account, you know, they sang that song, the old account was settled long ago. Well, Christ, he paid that price to settle that account, but we have to do something ourselves. We have to ask forgiveness. If I've wronged somebody, I need to ask them to forgive me. And, you know, we've all wronged God, every one of us. We've wronged him. You know, we've stole from God. You say you might think you've never stole nothing from God, but if you're 50, 60, 70 years old, you've never been saved. I tell you tonight, you've stole from God. You've stole a lot of God's time because he gave you your life, and your life is not your own. It's a gift from God. So I just want to encourage people tonight. You know, God can forgive you. I tell you, you can humble yourself at the foot of the cross, ask the Lord to forgive you, and ask him to come into your life, and you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. He'll send forth his spirit into your heart, and you'll begin to call on him as your heavenly Father, and you'll ask him to forgive you and that, and you'll be a child of the King. And I'll just turn it back to you, Brother Eddie. I kind of just can't get with it tonight, but the Lord's good, and I thank you for this opportunity, and we'll be listening in, so God bless you.
God bless you, brother. All right, 770-584-4969. Come in, obey the Lord.
All right, brother. This is Brother John. Is that other caller, is she still on the line? Or
do what?
Is that the first caller that called in, is she still on the line? Or
no.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, we just want to, tonight I'm talking out of, preaching out of the Romans chapter 8, and we'll be going also to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 20, and tonight I'm preaching on according to his purpose. You know, the word purpose means to be set forth or plan or purpose in life. And there in verse 20 it says, for the creature was made subject, here's the Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Rome, said, for the creature, which is the creation, which is all mankind, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him, talking about God, who has subject to the same in hope. In other words, we've been subjected to two things tonight. First thing is vanity. Second thing is hope. I'm going to tell you the reason why we've been subject to both of these. But the first thing, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, talking about being subject to vanity. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, says, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. All the days of our life is vanity of vanity, according to the preachers, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. So we need to know that we were subject to vanity because we were brought out of the dust. We are not something to be prideful. We're not something to be puffed up. We're not something because we've come out of the dust. Amen. And tonight we need to know that all the days of our life in the sweat of our brow, and we will turn back to dust. But as we are subject to vanity, we're also subject to hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason we were, verse 21, it says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. We need to know tonight that as we've been subject to vanity and to hope, amen, we've been subject, in other words, we're subject to the hope of Jesus Christ, because all of us have that opportunity tonight, as we are the created being, as you created the children of the living God, that we shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. We shall be, as we are bound tonight, hallelujah, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ then may be free, and be ye not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. There's a bondage tonight. Amen. If you are not a child of God, there's a bondage that the enemy, the world, will try to put on you. It's a bondage of
of corruption. You need to know tonight that the Bible says in Psalms, hallelujah, that he will not allow the Holy One or suffer the Holy One. The Scripture says to see corruption. If there's corruption in our life, but tonight you need to know because of that hope, amen, that we are brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah, for we know that the whole creation, we need to know that every created being, the Bible says that everything was not made without the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made all things, and nothing was made without him. Hallelujah, we need to know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Hallelujah, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1. Verse 1, the purpose of the Word is to bring life unto us. And we need to know tonight to bring us to be the children of God, to bring us, and as the Bible says, the whole creation groan and travail in pain together until now. In other words, under the curse of pain. Amen. Under the curse of, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Something
within us. That's what a woman will do. She'll be in pain and travail until that child is born. Hallelujah. And we need to know tonight that every created being is groaning with pain, amen, together until something's birthed within them. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in verse 23, and not only they, but we ourselves also. In other words, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. He was talking to the church at Rome. He was talking to the believers at Rome. And he said, not only is the whole world, the whole creation that God created, groaning and travailing and pain together until now, but even those, amen, ourselves, believers also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. There's a groaning within believers tonight. Amen, that there'll be a birth, that there'll be a hope, that there'll be a purpose, that'll be a setting forth tonight, that we will find our purpose, amen. Even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. You need to know today, amen, adoption, amen. Amen. That word adoption means he's bringing you into a sonship. He's bringing you to become a child of God in the New Testament times. Amen. Hallelujah. The son would get the greater inheritance, and even the firstborn son would even get a greater inheritance. But you need to know tonight in the kingdom of God, in the power of Christ, every one of you become sons. Amen. The child of the living God. Doesn't make a difference whether you're male, female, bond or free. You've been had the spirit of adoption to bring you to life. Your life is a lifetime of waiting. It's a period of waiting to be redeemed and be brought into the glorious liberty and find your purpose. Tonight you need to find your purpose according to his purpose. He says, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. The word redemption means to be redeemed, to be brought back to God. Hallelujah. Tonight, your very purpose tonight is to be brought back to the Lord Jesus Christ by that spirit of adoption, that we would be the first fruits. The Bible says in verse 24, for we are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. If you have seen hope, you've already received hope. But hope is something that we're still looking for. Hallelujah. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? You need to know tonight that if you already can see what God wants to give you, God will give you a purpose. God will give you a hope. God will give you a reason. The Lord Jesus Christ, all the works that he done at Calvary, all the works that he come, amen, amen, and overshadow and come upon this earth. Amen. That every works of the flesh. When he died there, he gave us a hope. Amen. He gave us a purpose. Hallelujah. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. There are things tonight, hallelujah, in our life. If we can't see it, then there's still a hope there. But the Bible instructs that we must wait with patience for it. The Bible says, in your patience possess you your soul. That it's a time of waiting, a time of receiving. But the Bible says, hallelujah, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Hallelujah. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. When we come, when we have trouble, the word infirmity there means when we become into troubles, when troubles come into our life, and we don't know what we ought to pray. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will begin to help us. It will be our present help in times of need. It will be our refuge. It will be our rock. Amen. He's a present help in times of need. That Holy Spirit, amen, comes upon you. But when we know not what we ought to pray, But the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. There's intercession. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's appealing. That's what the Holy Spirit do. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. It's appealing unto God the Father as the Spirit itself begins to rise up within us. But you must have that hope. You must have that purpose. The purpose of everyone that's underneath the sound of my voice is to become sons and daughters of the living God, the one and only true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, beside me there is no other. You need to know tonight that there's only one God. Hallelujah. One Lord and one faith and one baptism tonight. Beside him, beside the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation in any other but the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name is above all, who God the Father made both Lord and Christ. And as he sent his Spirit, the Bible says he didn't speak for him to go with. If he goes not away, the Comforter or his Spirit will not come. But the Lord, but the God the Father will send it. When you ask in his name, you need to know tonight that all you have to do according to the word of God is ask for it. If the Father asks, if we being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Spirit to those that ask? It's simply asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive his Spirit, and the Spirit will begin to dwell on the inside of you and live in you. It will begin to make intercession when we don't know what to pray, but the Spirit itself making intercession for us, for us, for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm talking about this Holy Ghost will make a groaning and an uttering. Amen, amen, that cannot be uttered. Hallelujah, I'm talking about he will intercede. Amen, even as the seven thunders, amen, in the book of Revelation, it thundered, amen, and John began to write, the Revelator began to write with the thunder stuttered, but he said, seal it up, amen, because what it was spoken in those thunders were not to be uttered. You need to know tonight that we serve a God, amen, that understands, that cannot be received by man. We serve a God tonight that with the Spirit will make groanings and utterances when we don't know what to say, when we don't know what to pray, when we don't know what to supplicate. And the Bible says in verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows. The Bible says it searches the heart. The Bible says, amen, the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen, the word of God and the Spirit of God knows the mind of the Spirit because he's making intercession. He's making, amen, appealing for the saints, those that have been separated. If you receive, amen, your purpose tonight is to become saints of God. Your purpose tonight is to become sons and daughters of the living God. Your purpose tonight, God's purpose, was you to make every one of you that needs to sound my voice his children. He was your creator. He said, according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah, you've been set forth. There's something that he's going to set you for. It's working together. Those that love God, he's bringing you together for his purpose to become his family, to become his child, become his sonship. He said, for whom he did foreknow. Do you know that he foreknew all of us? He's for whom he did foreknow. There's nothing hid from him tonight, church. Amen. When he called Jeremiah the prophet, he said he ordained him a prophet to the nation before he come forth with his mother. Before he even formed him in his mother's womb, he knew him. Church, tonight, you need to know that every one of you has the sound of my voice. God foreknew you. So that's speaking to everyone. For who he foreknew, he also did predestinate. In other words, he had a foreordained plan. He already determined that every one of you would be to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he would be made and going back into the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that God made man in his image. And by receiving of his Spirit tonight, by finding your purpose to become his son, his daughter, by the living Spirit that will dwell and live on the inside of you. Your purpose is to become a child of the living God. Your purpose, amen, is to come, amen, and be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, when Jesus Christ rose up, the first fruits of the dead, we are the first fruit, Every believer is a first fruit. Every one of you is first. You're not second. There's not a one of you. Amen. And those of you that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time for you right now to begin to cry out to Him. Begin to ask Him to come into your life. Begin to ask Him to save you. Begin to ask Him to show you your purpose in Jesus Christ. Be show you that you are His sons and His daughters, and you're coming into the liberty. And you've come out, just like I said there, verse 21, you are to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And the Bible said, whom He did predestinate to be conformed to Him, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then He also called everyone. He determined every one of you to be His children. He's called every one of you. He's called every one of you. How many of you will answer tonight? And whom He called, them He also justified. The Bible says we're justified by our faith. When He called, we begin to answer in our faith, answering back into the hope, answering back to the purpose. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. When you begin to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When the Word of God is spoken unto you, it has been spoken tonight. These are portions of the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says, eat the fat, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them that nothing's prepared for. Some of you couldn't prepare the Word of God tonight. Some of you don't have an opportunity. That's why you're sitting at the Master's table right now, eating of the portions. Amen. You are sitting at the King's table right now. You're sitting at the Lord's table right now, having communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not the Last Supper. This is the First Supper. He's sitting down and drinking wine with you when He's come, because this kingdom comes down on the inside of you. The kingdom of God comes without observation. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Because the kingdom of God is with in you tonight, church. If you don't receive His rule, amen. If the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne of your heart right now, the kingdom of God is sitting down on the inside, and He will give you the keys to the kingdom. This kingdom is only comes through. You've got to be born to this kingdom. You must be born again, amen. You can't come any other way, but you must be born as a child of God, amen. Just like Brother Green said, amen. Nicodemus was a ruler in Israel and didn't know that Jesus spoke to him in John chapter 3 and said, you must be born again of the Word and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. This kingdom is just like the whole creation is what prevailing, amen, to be born into this kingdom. Many of you, amen, are trying to get to this kingdom, but there's only one way through. It's a birth, and that birth is a door, because Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. Jesus Christ's purpose was to open that door back to God the Father, that we might, amen, hallelujah, cry, Abba Father, which means my Father, hallelujah. We need to know tonight, hallelujah, that He called you also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. How many of you are ready to get glorified tonight? The Bible said, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read some scriptures, and then I'm going to give it back to Brother Eddie. But the Bible said, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to give you the word, your purpose in the Word of God. So do we begin again to commend ourselves? In other words, do we lift ourselves up? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? In other words, do we need letters of commendation that pats on the back? Or letters of commendation from you? In other words, what he was asking there, at that time he was asking about, they would send letters of commendation, amen, of how this person was or how that person was. And when they went to the other churches, and they would send those letters of commendation of how this person was, or where they had maybe even membership or fellowship with certain churches. And so he began to ask, he said, look, do we need these letters from you, or do we need to send letters of commendation to you? But you need to know something tonight. Verse 2, he spoke to the believers there in Corinth. He said, you are our epistle. You are our writings, you are our letters, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You are our letter, you are our love letter. Do you know that every one of you is a living love letter that God has sent to the world? Amen. Every one of you is read and known of men. Your lives are an open book. How many of you have been to a book signing? Amen. And the author of the book is signing his name. You need to know every one of you is writing a book. It's the book of life that you are living. Your name needs to be written in the Lamb's book of life, but every one of you is writing your own book. Every one of you is writing your own autobiography. Every one of you is writing your own epistle. And he says, your epistle, your letter, is in our hearts. For as much as, verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. In other words, the believers at Corinth were to appear unto the world as the living epistle of Christ, ministered by the Apostle Paul and the other apostles and those rulers, amen, that were leaders of the church. But they weren't written with not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, wrote in their heart. And they become a living love letter. Your purpose tonight is to be a living love letter to the world. He said, not in tables of stone, as was in the time of Moses, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. The Holy Spirit begins to write on your heart. He said, I take out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, and I begin to write. God is still writing with his finger tonight, church, but he's writing on the heart. And such as we are through Christ the Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency of God. The word sufficiency means enough. In other words, we're nothing within ourselves. If we're anything tonight, it's only in God. You need to know tonight that I know Brother Eddie, I've known him for many years, but Brother John, Brother Eddie, it's nothing. But if there's any sufficiency, if you receive anything tonight, it's the Holy Spirit writing on the table of your heart right now, writing on a living letter. We are not only Brother Green, Brother Yearwood, Sister Yearwood, all them that, you know, they're in a revival tonight. And they would normally be preaching on that. I know there's other preachers waiting to get on here. You need to know that we are, the verse 6 is, now also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit gives life, church. We're not ministering unto you. We're ministering the Spirit. This is the ministry of the Spirit tonight. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of God could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. In other words, this that was written in stone, this was the head of stone. He wrote the commandments in stone. But you need to know tonight the difference is, if it was glorious, how much more glorious is it for the glory of his coming, which glory was to be done away? How shall not the ministration of verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 of the Spirit be bad glory? In other words, if the commandments were glorious, how much more is the Spirit writing on the table of the heart glorious now? He wants to glorify you. For even that which was made glorious, verse 10, had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. You know what? The Spirit remains tonight, church. The tablets of stone were done away with. But the old glory, but the new glory has come in by the Spirit, and it remains. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Remember what Moses said when he was first called? Whom he called before knew? You know what? Moses was predestinated, had a foreknowledge. He justified him. He called him, Moses, go and speak to Pharaoh. He told him to let my people go. Oh, I don't have adequate speech. Well, now I'm going to speak to you plainly tonight, church. Well, if you don't have adequate speech, you know what? You know, church, it's time for us to quit making excuses why we don't speak the Word of God and live the Word of God. You know what they told Moses? There's your brother Aaron. Let him speak for you. Let him be your minister, and I'll be your God. Tonight, let God be your God tonight, church. And the Bible said, verse 13, it's not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look into the end of that which was abolished. In other words, the glory of the veil. Amen. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even until this day when Moses is read, in other words, when the law is read, the veil is upon their heart. There are people that still don't understand the law of Moses, the word of God, the law of God, because there's a veil on the heart. Amen?
Thank
so
you,
we
Lord.
Need to know,
amen.
But even to this day, verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, what shall turn to the Lord? When the heart, when your heart turns to the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. When your heart turns to the Lord right now, and you give your heart to the Lord, you know what happens? That veil is written in twain from the top to the bottom. And God enters into your heart, just like he did in the heaven. Your heart is a type and shadow of God to dwell in. Amen. Not your little heart, your natural heart, but the place that makes you your life. And when he ends in, he's entered into heaven and heaven. Amen. And through the Holy of Holies. And when that veil is went into, just like it was on the day when Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And it's amen. And Christ enters into your heart right now. Right now, all over this world, right all over this nation, all over everyone under the sound of my voice, right now it's time for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart right now. It's time for you to find out your purpose, that from this day forward that you are the living sons and daughters of the living God. He said, nevertheless, when it shall turn the left, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to know tonight, he's bringing to a glorious liberty tonight, church. He brings to the voice of me right now as the Spirit is willing. I'm going to turn it back to Brother Lee. I'm going to let him lead in prayer or whatever he wants to do. But right now, there's a convicting spirit. Right now, all across this world, all across this whole earth, right now, the convicting gospel of the Holy Spirit is falling on some right now. Many, right now, many are receiving healing. Many are being set free by the power of God. Many are receiving the word of God for the first time in their life. Why? Because, hallelujah, you right now, you're becoming living epistles rather than known of men. From this day forth, you will be a living love letter. Amen. Read and known of men. Hallelujah. Right now, receive the word of Jesus Christ. Right now, let nothing despair. Let nothing turn you aside. Right now, let the Spirit convict you. Go ahead, brother. Let it take over.
Praise the Lord. We appreciate that word. If you'd like to be part of this broadcast, the call-in number is 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. We had a couple of callers that called in, and they hung back up. And this 706-264-0145. Would you like to say something?
Yeah, brother. This Evangelist Roy here, Woods. We're down here in Georgia. Just excited about hearing the broadcast, hearing what God is doing. Hearing the word that's been preached on there, and we're just praising God for it. We're down here in a revival in Barnell, Georgia. God's really been moving, blessing every service, and I've been advertising that we're having a Sousa Street revival, and praise God, I believe that's what we've been having. God's been moving.
Bless you, Lord.
People been shouting. People been running clear out in the yard and out here in the parking lot and around and about just to praising God. And I tell you, I wish everybody around could be down here in this revival. God is really a moving and really a blessing. And so we just praise God for it. And Brother Eddie, I want to say that I appreciate you and Brother John taking the service over and running it for us there tonight by God's help. I know that God's the ones are doing it, so we just appreciate you and we love you for it. So I've got Sister Green standing right here. She may want to say something here.
Go right ahead.
Praise God, Brother Eddie, Brother John.
Praise the Lord, Sister Green.
Amen. Good to be here. Revival's been going great here in Barnell, Georgia, and the Holy Ghost has really been moving, and I know y'all were talking about purpose of God, and I was thinking about the purpose, too, of man, if that's all right. I could say, I don't know what y'all, we lost signal back there when Brother Green was preaching, and right as he turned it back over to you, Brother Eddie, we was in an area where we couldn't even hear what was being said. But I was thinking about our purpose. How we're to be, offer our body as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, holy and acceptable unto God. And that's our reasonable service. That's our purpose here, you know, to be with the Lord, to live a good, clean life for Him. And I always taught my children, you know, if something seemed like it just ain't right and you just don't know for sure, just don't do it. And
amen.
And offer yourself. As Paul said, I die daily, I take up my cross daily, praise the Lord. And I was telling my daughter today, I said, sis, you need to, she's 23 years old, I said, you need to get yourself, she knows the way, you need to get yourself in church. You know, so many out there says, that, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, and And I look at church like a filling station. I said, when that old car is getting ready to go empty, what do? You pull into that gas station and you fill up that car and you can go on another 300 miles before you need to gas up again. And you know, some people say, well, there's too many hypocrites. I can't go to church. Well, you know, you don't look at the hypocrites. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there in a minute.
Bless
and that means the other 20 that might be there, if they're there and they're acting foolish, you know, the other might be two or three that is really serious for God. And you don't get your eyes on man no way. You go there and you draw strength from one another. And let the hypocrites be hypocrites. He said, let the wheat and the tare grow together. Praise the Lord. He will separate. God will do the separation. Praise the Lord. But we go to church to draw strength from each other. He said one can send 1,000 to flight and two can send 10,000. Can you imagine if there's about 20 people in one mind and one accord, how many demons could be sent to flight? A whole bunch, praise God. And I tell you what, when you go in feeling a burden and you go in the church house and you're hanging your head low and praise God and you get in a good anointed service with the presence of God, hallelujah. He said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And, and you know, and all them weights and all them burdens, he said, praise God. He said, cast your burdens upon me because my burdens are easy. My yoke is light. Praise God. I might have had that backwards. But, you know, praise the Lord. Cast your burdens on the Lord, all these that are heavy laden. Praise God. And he'll give you rest. Hallelujah. And, you know, the next day you can just wake up, the troubles and stuff just may be there, but they don't seem like they're as big. Hallelujah. The devil will he'll magnify things. You ever see these magnifying glasses? Hallelujah.
Bless your Lord.
And there's a little bitty object, but you put it under a magnifying glass, it blows up real big. And the devil will take something real small that, you know, God can handle. He can do all things. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And, the devil will magnify that thing. And when you get under the unction of the Holy Ghost and in the Shekinah glory, praise God, a problem begins to shrink. And, you know, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah. One of these days, we're going to look at that old enemy, that old devil, Satan, and we're going to look at him and we're going to say, it was you. You caused me all this trouble. Little old you, you're nothing. Praise God. I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Eddie, and I appreciate this opportunity to be able to say something for God. And you all pray for our service here. We're getting ready to start probably in about 15 minutes. Praise God, and love you all.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray right now. If you've got a need, give it in. If we want to pray and want to give this phone number out again before we pray. It's, if you'd like to be part of this broadcast, if you called in and you hung up, feel free to call in again. And we'll get you on the air and let you say something for the Lord. The phone number is 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. Let's pray today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Father. God, for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. And we pray, Father, tonight, Father, for all the listeners out there, Father, that may have need, Father, and God, that they did give in, Father. And we pray, God, that you'd move in them, Father. And God, if they're lost people tonight, Father, that God that's listening, Father, that you'd touch their heart, that you'd speak to them, Lord, and begin to reveal yourself to them, Father. And Lord, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name today, God, that they might call on your name. God, if they're backsliders, listen, Lord, that God, they might begin to draw nigh to you. Peter said that if we draw nigh to you, you draw nigh to us. And Father, I pray, Father, for the ones, God, that's got needs in their life, Father, whether it be a sickness that needs to be healed, Father, whether it's a financial need, a family need, Father. God, the marriage that's in trouble, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd send the Spirit of God, Father, and begin to minister and begin to move, Heavenly Father. And I pray for people in the hospitals tonight, Father, that you'd just move and, God, begin to raise people up off of sick beds, Father. And God, begin, Heavenly Father, to heal them, Lord, and let them get out and go forth, Father, and live for you, Father, and praise the name of the Lord. God, we pray, Father, that you'd bless this broadcast. Thank you for what's been said, Lord, to lift the name of Jesus up to this time. And God, we pray that you would, Lord, just bless the rest of it. And God, you bless Brother Yearwood and Sister and Brother Green, Father. God, in their revival in Barnell, Georgia, Father, I pray for your spirit out, Father, upon them. God, that they might, Lord, just glorify you, Father, that Christ may be lifted up in them. Father, just bless them now, Father, and continue to bless this broadcast. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Let's have a song tonight by the Branham family. Before we do that, let's go back to, let's go ahead and have this song, A Reason to Sing by the Branham family. Call in to 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. I was thinking while Sister Green was talking about when she was testifying there about people said they didn't know to, need to go to church to be a Christian. The Bible says in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Verse 24 said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And this verse of scripture right here said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We need to go to the house of God tonight that we might assemble together, that we might come together, that we might worship the Lord. Jesus said the time's coming in the book of John. He talking to the woman at the well. And he said the time's coming that they'll worship God in spirit and in truth. And he said, he told her, he said, you know not what, excuse me, what you worship, but the time will come one day that worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what we do tonight. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And I thank God tonight that it's a people that's born again that worships God in spirit and in truth. And I know there's a lot of people that's lost that goes out to the house of God, but I know that there's also a lot of people that claim to be saved tonight that they won't go to the house of God. And brother, if we begin to and then wonder why that things go bad for them like they do, but brother, I want you to know what, when you begin to go out to the house of God, and the Lord taught me a long time ago when I first got into the ministry that the greatest thing that anybody could do was go out to the house of God. And brother, and it began to take me a while to understand that, why that's needful. But when you go to the house of God, you come together with like believers that, and you begin to lift your hands and you begin to worship God. And brother, you begin to sing unto the Lord. And brother, you begin to listen to the word of God as it's being preached. And brother, the Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Sister Green said that it was like a car and a filling station. That car, when it gets low on gas, you've got to go where they sell gas at to get gas to put in that car if you're going to continue to drive that car. And it's the same with us tonight. When we begin to go, as we go and we live, and we get away from the house of God, and we begin to use the faith that we've received, and brother, when we begin to use that faith, it begins to get used up, and brother, we go back to the house of God, and we fill our tanks back up, and the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It said, how can you hear without a preacher, and how can they preach except they be sent? And brother, tonight, whenever that God begins to pour you full of his word, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And I thank God tonight that God has set a way forth that, brother, that his people can come and they can live for the Lord for 10 years, for 20 years. And like the brother that was on the broadcast, and Brother Hicks in South Carolina, 94 years old, said he had been in this way for 77 years and only quit pastoring the church about a year ago. Listen to me tonight. Folks, we need to go to the house of God to where we can hear the word of God. He said, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And brother, there's no other way that we can come before God and worship God. And people will say, well, I can worship God at home. But, brother, you're not assembling together with anybody when you're at home. And brother, you're by yourself. And when you're by yourself, you can be knocked down. The enemy can stand up against you and cause you so much heartache and cause you so much problem, so many trials that you might want to throw your hands up and quit. But bless God, when you go out to the house of God tonight, you're going, if I want to come and see you, I'll come to your house, to where you're at, and I'll visit you. And it's the same way with God tonight. And you might say, well, that's just a building. And it might be a building, but it's a building dedicated to God that people can come together to worship God. And brother, I want you to know today that if you're having trouble today, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of them. And brother, that's what going to the house of God is tonight. It's like I heard Brother Green say back a few weeks ago that I didn't hear this message in a bar. I didn't hear this message
in the dance hall, but I went to the house of God, and I heard the gospel message, how that Jesus came, and how that he was beaten, unrecognizable, and how he took the 39 stripes for the healing of our bodies, and brother, how that our chastisement was upon him, and brother, whenever that he was crucified, and brother, he hung there for several hours, and then the guard took his spear and pierced his side, and the Bible said, forthwith come blood and water. And brother, I'll tell you, but it wasn't until after he said, it is finished. And brother, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And brother, he hung his head. He gave up the ghost, and they pierced his side, and the blood and the water come forth. And the guard that was standing there, the centurion, he said, surely this was the Son of God. And brother, I want you to know tonight that we are worshiping the Son of God tonight. We worship God Almighty, that brother, that we might go on, Father. We're looking for a place called heaven to go to. And brother, we want to shun the other eternal place of eternal unrest. Oh, listen, that God has prepared for the devil and his angel. Brother, I was thinking today, brother, about Daniel, how that Daniel was going forth in the sixth chapter of Daniel. Daniel had been carried away in the captivity, brother, and the Bible says that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was firm, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Brother, I want you to know what today, brother, that the king ought to set him over the whole realm in the third verse. Brother, and then in the other princes didn't like it. You see, Daniel was a faithful man. Daniel was a faithful man. He was faithful in all that he did. Brother, and the king sought to set him over all of the other people in his kingdom. He said in verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for inasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Brother, it was over here in the 17th verse, it said, brother, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. You see, they got together, and they said, we won't find any fault unless it be against Daniel and his God. He said down here, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Brother, when you make your mind up that you're going to live for the Lord, brother, when you make your mind up that you're going to live for Jesus Christ, brother, the devil will begin to try to hatch a plan to take you down, to try to get a hold of you, brother, and bring you down to where you can't be faithful to the Lord. But I want you to know something tonight, brother, because of the shed blood of Jesus, brother, he poured his blood out, he shed it, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And brother, I'll tell you today, brother, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother, I'll tell you today that, brother, they might even be people that will stand, brother, and try to hatch up some scheme against you, brother, because they don't like what you're doing. But let me tell you tonight that the people of God have the Spirit of Christ in them. Brother, the Bible says, if any man, in the book of Romans, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he's none of his. And brother, I want you to know something tonight, that brother, if you're born again tonight, the Spirit of Christ lives in you. And brother, brother, I want you to know today, as you go on forward, and as you begin to seek God, brother, to fill you with the Holy Ghost, this Holy Ghost that John was talking about, he'll come in and he'll fill you, and he'll give you power, brother, and you can be a witness no matter where that you're at. Brother, you might say, well, I would, but I'm afraid of what they might say about me. Brother, when the Holy Ghost begins to come upon you, it'll take that fear, that perfect love, casteth out fear. Brother, the love of God, and brother, I want you to know tonight, it'll cast that fear out of you. It'll give you the boldness you need to stand up and to be a witness for Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you today, they got together and they hatched up this plan against Daniel, and they to find an occasion against him, between him and his God. And brother, the only way they could do it was to get together and, brother, go to the king, King Darius, and brother, that if Daniel or if anybody else, because they knew that Daniel went and prayed three times to God just like he had. Brother, I'll tell you what. Brother, they know that he prayed to God and he asked petitions of God. Brother, they thought they'd get rid of him, but listen to me. It said in verse 10, verse 9, it said, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And verse 10, it said, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went unto his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now listen to this phrase, that he did as he did four times. Daniel prayed three times a day unto God, brother, and when he knew this, this decree or this statue was signed by the king, he knew that he'd be taking his life into his own hands. But you know, we're talking about purposes tonight. Brother, God's purpose tonight. God had a purpose for Daniel being here. He put him in a place, brother, to where he would be, he could be used, and God could use him in the kingdom of Persia. And brother, I'll tell you something. Brother, Daniel was faithful. Brother, and he went there and he prayed. Brother, I'll tell you what, these men, brother, they had their own purpose, and their purpose was to destroy Daniel. But you know what? God wasn't about to let that happen, because God wasn't done with Daniel. God had a work for Daniel to do. Brother, and it's just like you tonight. God's got a work for you to do. And brother, whatever, brother, and I preach it like this, that until God is done with you, there's nothing going to happen to you. You're not going anywhere. I know the Bible said it's appointed once the man to die, and after this the judgment. But brother, I want you to know something. That appointment that's in your life, you don't know when it'll be, but brother, it won't happen until God's appointed time. And then it said in verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And verse 12 said, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast alive, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persian, which alters not. Oh, listen to me. Brother Daniel might have won. It may have been just the first time, just a few minutes after this decree had been signed, and begin to pray and ask petition. And no doubt Daniel knew exactly what that he was doing. Bless God. But you know what? It was like the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bless God. When they was out there, the king had built a statue. And when he built that, he told everybody to fall down and worship that statue. Brother, and they all fell down when they heard the music playing, and all except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then the rest of them told the king that they didn't fall down and worship his God or his idol. And brother, he said, now listen, he said, that you'll fall down and worship my God. He said, he said, when the music plays, you hear all kinds of music. He said, it'll be all right. But you know what? They said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, God will deliver us. And even if he don't, we won't fall down and worship this image. Our brother and the king commanded the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than it was usually heated to. And brother, they took all of their clothes and they put them on them. They bound them hand and foot. And Nebuchadnezzar got the mightiest men in his army to throw them into the fiery furnace. And bless God, when they did, it killed the men that told them in there it was so hot. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, brother, they hatched a plan against them. But you know what? God wasn't done with them either. Because whenever they told him in there, King Nebuchadnezzar got up and he looked into the furnace and he saw them walking around. Not only did he see them walking around, he saw another man walking with them. He said, did not we throw 3 in? He said, I see 4 walking around, and the 4th is likened as the Son of God. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, brother, the fire couldn't burn them up. Brother, they couldn't destroy them, because when God says it, it's established. When God says it, there's nothing that can change what God does. Oh, I'm telling you something tonight. Brother, King Nebuchadnezzar told them to come out. Then they come out of the furnace. There was no smoke upon them. They was not the smell of smoke. They didn't have any singed hair upon them. The fire was all around them. But, brother, the fire didn't touch them. And it's just like Daniel here. It said, then they came here in verse 12 before the king concerning the king's decree. And this is what they said. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. And then answered they, verse 13, then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. See, they were accusing him, and that's what the devil does to God's people today. He stands and he accuses God's people, and bless God, when he accuses them, he does that to try to stop them. But I want you to know something. Bless God, God will stand with you, brethren. It said, verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Oh, listen, then these men assembled to the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, now listen to what this ungodly king said, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Brother, these other presidents and princes, brother, they come together and they went before Darius and they had the statue decreed. And bless God, when they had it decreed, the king signed it. And the king knew that it couldn't be signed, but they tricked the king. The king didn't understand what was going on, because the king wanted to put Daniel above all the princes and the presidents of his kingdom. And bless God, his eye was on Daniel, and they tricked the king. But I'll tell you tonight, brother, when he signed that decree, he couldn't change it. He had to go on because it was the law. Oh, listen to me. It was a law that he signed. Brother, it was the statute or a decree that he signed, making it the law of the land. Brother, I know the Bible tells us, brother, to obey them that hath the rule over over you in the Lord. But brother, it said to obey the law, every man's statue. But brother, when we begin, if we begin to obey the law, that's contrary to the word of God. Brother, I'll tell you what, we may have to make a choice tonight if we're going to stand for Jesus or if we're going to stand for something else. Brother, listen, God, just like he was with the three Hebrew children, just like he was with Daniel and this, bless God, he'll stand with you. He said, then the king went in verse 18. Then the king went, in verse 17, he sealed. In verse 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. His sleep went from him. Listen, in verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions. Then said Daniel unto the king, and live forever, O king, live forever. In verse 21 and verse 22, listen to Daniel's reply. My king has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, had I done no hurt. Oh, listen, God, he stayed with Daniel in that den of lions. He sent his angel to be with him. Brother, and God shut the lion's mouth. Brother, the word no hurt came upon Daniel. And brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, these things going on in your life, that God will stand with you. Brother, and I'll tell you, just like I said a while ago, there's nothing going to happen to you until God says that your time is up. We've all got an allotted number of days on the face of this earth, and what we do for Jesus, bless God, is what's going to stand with us when we stand before him. The Bible says, know you not that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in this body. Brother, and when we stand there, brother, with the works that we've done for God, God will reward us. Brother, I want you to know today, when we build on this foundation in the third chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, brother, wood, hay, stubble, brother, gold, silver, precious stones, it said our work shall be declared, the day shall declare it, for our work shall be tried by fire. Said if our works be burned up, we shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be, brother, shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And brother, I want you to know, but that gold and that silver and them precious stones, the fire purifies them. It makes gold more pure. It makes silver more pure. It brings the dross out of the gold until it's 24-carat pure gold. It brings the dross out of silver till silver is pure silver. Oh, listen to you. And brother, them work will stand before God. Brother, and the reward will be unto you. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, the king said, listen. He said, God, he said, is thy God whom thou servest able to deliver thee? But back up here in verse 16, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a heathen king. But listen, he had seen Daniel. He seen how Daniel lived. He seen how Daniel conducted his life. He seen the faithfulness of Daniel. Bless God. And as he seen that, he knew what Daniel stood for. He knew that God was alive in his life. You see, after he signed that decree, and they told him what it was, I believe the king could have turned around and smacked himself because he had been tricked into signing this, because he didn't know what they had in mind. But brother, I want you to know something today. Bless God, these people out there listening to me, brother, you might be going through a trial. People's giving you a hard time tonight. Oh, but let me tell you, because you're living for the Lord. But let me tell you something tonight. Brother, you're living for the Lord. It's not in vain. Brother, the Bible said, brother, that we'll have persecution in this world. That don't mean that God will leave you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I'll go with you. all the way unto the end of the world in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. Brother, I want you to know today, God won't let us down. He'll hold us up. The Bible said we've not been appointed under wrath. Brother, let me tell you something today. He said in another place, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. God will take your part. He'll hold you up. He'll strengthen you tonight. Brother, I'll tell you tonight that God, He's with you. He's standing with you. Christ is living in you. The Holy Ghost is going out and working and hedging you about and working in your behalf. God sends angels, brother, to clear a path for you. Brother, I want you to know, brother, the Bible said in the 23rd Psalm, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Brother, God will take that rod, brother, and He will prod us along the way that He wants us to go, to walk in the path that He's got set before us, that pathway of righteousness, that we might walk, bless God, and be pleasing to Him. Brother, and if we, it's like that shepherd that has got that shepherd staff, it's got that crook in the end of it. If we get over out of the way, He'll reach back. Crooked end of that staff, brother, and He'll get a hold of us. He'll pull us back on the path of righteousness. Oh, listen to me, folks, tonight. God wants to bless you. God will bless you, brother, for walking in a way. Brother, listen, I read over there a while ago in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, brother, where He said, let us hold fast our profession of faith without wavering tonight. Brother, the Bible said we overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Brother, you just don't know how many people that you affect when you begin to witness for Jesus. Oh, listen to me tonight. Brother, and if you don't think you can, just begin to ask God to let that Holy Ghost come upon you. Bless God that you might be bold. He's given us boldness tonight. He'll give you boldness. He'll take away that shyness. He'll take away that being afraid. You see, Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. Oh, thank God tonight for that Holy Ghost that comes upon people. Bless God. And He comes upon people and makes them witnesses, makes them bold. And brother, you know what I like about this? There's one spirit tonight. Brother, and you know your brothers and sisters, no matter if you can understand the language or not, you know them by their spirit. He said, for His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, I thank God tonight that God is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But He'll be with us all the way, even until the end. Now listen to this as we go down through here. Brother, He said in verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Listen to that. He believed in his God. Brother, tonight to be saved, all you've got to do is believe in your heart that Jesus died for you. And brother, He died for the sins of the world, but not only the sins of the world, but He died for your sins. Brother, you believe, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Brother, when you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, brother, you're made righteous. Oh, listen to me today. Brother, God wants to save you that's lost tonight. He sent Jesus to die for you. He sent Jesus to be tortured, to be crucified, brother, to hang there on that old tree. The Bible says He became a curse for us. And brother, I want you to know what tonight, God sent Him for that purpose, and He fulfilled that purpose tonight. Oh, and He said, because He believed in His God, and if you'll believe believe that Jesus died for you and rose again, bless God, today he'll save your soul. And if you're backslidden tonight, brother, the Bible said there's no other sacrifice that's been given. You've got to go back to God. You've got to confess your sin to him. You've got to repent of your sin. And you've got to take your cross up and begin to follow God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. See, God took Daniel's part. Not only did he spare him, but the ones that stood up against him, brother, the king destroyed them. Oh, listen, I don't want to, I don't want to see nothing happen to nobody. But bless God, God, he'll take your part tonight. He'll deliver you. Now listen to what this king wrote to this kingdom in verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Verse 27, now listen to this. Verse 27, he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. In verse 28, so Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Brother, I want to encourage you tonight to call on the name of the Lord, to draw nigh to the Lord, and God will draw nigh to you. Brother, God won't leave you stranded nowhere, but he's out there with you. Tonight, brother, if you want to be part of this broadcast, call 310-742-1759. Again, that's 310-742-1759. Oh, listen to me. God wants to bless you tonight. We come to you tonight because we want to see God bless you. We want to see God save the lost. We want to see God bring the backslider back. We want to see God, brother, to strengthen the Christians tonight, brother, and make them strong, to make you strong, that you can stand. I don't know where all, I know that this broadcast goes around the world, and there's people in a great number of nations that listens to it. And brother, I know that there's other religions out there, but brother, there's only one tonight that can give you peace, and that's Jesus Christ. He'll give you peace tonight, and God will bless you no matter where you're at. And brother, I want to play another song here. And again, if you want to be part of this broadcast,
oh, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Oh, and a night, oh, and a night, oh, tell
God tonight. If you want to call in, the number is 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. And I didn't introduce myself. My name is Evangelist Eddie Bolton. I live in Jacksboro, Tennessee. And Brother Lloyd Yearwood asked me to conduct his service with Brother Johnny tonight, Johnny Samples in Thomaston, Georgia. And Brother Yearwood and Brother and Sister Green are in Varnell, Georgia in a revival. And they're having, from my understanding, what Brother Yearwood has told me, that they're having a great outpouring of the Spirit of God in that revival tonight. And we want to ask y'all to pray for them, that they might reach somebody, that they might minister to people, that the Spirit of God would just be poured out upon them, and that people would be saved, that people would be ministered to, that they would be made strong in the Lord tonight. Brother Johnny?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm here.
Go ahead and obey the Lord, brother.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, we're talking about, and talking about a while ago, about people saying they don't have to go to church, be a Christian. The word Christian means, they were first called Christian at Antioch, and the word Christian means to be Christ-like. There was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ was left by Mary and Joseph in the time at the feast. Amen. And they started to leave, and for 2 days they left them and going back there because they thought that he was with the family. And as they come, they began to seek for him. And as they began to seek for him, they sought for him throughout the city and finally came back to the temple. And they saw him and found him in the temple teaching and also receiving and with the others there in the temple. And the whole time he had not left the temple, you know, or the house of the Lord. You know, as he came there, amen, the times, the appointed times, you know, it's appointed there. It's amazing how people believe that they never have to go to the house of the Father, but will end up in the heaven of the Father. That's just not going to be. If you never return to the house, if you don't live in his house, you'll never be in his heaven. That just tells him that you don't. If you can't come to the house of the Father, if you can't feel welcome, if you can't come, just like the prodigal son, he had to go back to the house of the Father. He had to go back to the place, amen, where he came from. In church tonight, we have to go to the house of the Father. You can't abide outside the house and fully expect, you will not enter into his kingdom. Just like he said in verse 27, he that willfully sins, that's retaining to forsaking yourself. That's a willful sin. You don't have the sacrifice. If you don't have the sacrifice, you don't have Christ. You don't have the Son.
Amen.
You don't have the Son. You won't make it. You have to have that sacrifice. And just like the Bible says, we are many members of the one body. If we don't gather ourselves together as the body of Christ, where's the hearing? You know, if you're the hearing tonight, you know, we're gathering together. Right now, we're in church. Right now.
Yeah.
As they, on this broadcast, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Matthew 16:18. Okay? Right now, Christ is in our midst. He's teaching us. He's speaking to us. Okay? There are different vessels, just like Brother Eddie brought out. Eventually, Brother Eddie brought out about there's vessels of wood, vessels of silver, vessels of gold. Every one of us is vessels. And God's trying to bring us to a vessel of honor that's fit and meet and fit for the Master's use. You know,
amen.
We have to understand, you know, tonight we can be made out of wood. It doesn't make a difference. It's not what we're made out of. It's what's on the inside of the vessel. That's Spirit of God. That's what's precious. And tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is precious and purpose. And tonight, you know, we make a lot of excuses. We make a lot of things where we don't have to go. You know, well, you know, we become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We don't want to go to his house. We don't want to buy this. We don't want this man to rule over us. You know, we come there, but we'll fully take on his name. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, it says it would be seven women after one man to remove the reproach. They'll wear their own garments, but they just want his name. You know, there's a lot of people on board tonight that just want the name.
Yeah,
but they want to go their own way. They just want the name of saying, well, I'm married to Jesus. I'm married to Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm the bride of Christ. But just because you say you're the bride doesn't mean that you're going to take on his name. Doesn't mean you're going to be a part of the wedding. You have to have the wedding garments on tonight, church.
Amen.
You have to have the wedding garments, because those that don't have the wedding garments on, those that don't have the wedding garments on, will be cast out, amen, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about, amen, you know, the Bible speaks out of in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, and he says, talking about the Apostle Paul. And he said he had been incarcerated. And he said, that verse 6, he said, now I stand in judgment for the hope of the promise made of God to our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly, serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake keep Agrippa. I am accused to the Jews. You know, Brother Ed brought out about Daniel praying three times a day. You have to understand, over there in the Middle East, they have prayer. Amen. They're called to prayer. It's the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. Amen. Three times a day. They celebrate, and you're talking about, amen, Brother Eddie brought out about there out of John chapter 4, where the Samaritans, they worshiped in Mount Jezreel, worship in Jerusalem. But God declares them by his own word in John chapter 4, that now is the hour when the true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. We worship in the spirit, just like I was speaking about earlier, about this is a ministry in the spirit. Our worship's in the spirit. The praise is in the spirit, in his spirit. He says, why should you think, verse 8, he says, why should it be a thing incredible to you that God should raise the dead? I rather thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Here's the Apostle Paul, probably one of the greatest writers in the New Testament. He thought, you know what, I need to do everything contrary to the name of Jesus. There's some of you that, well, you know, what did he say? He says, you know my manner of life and even my purpose. He said, you know, I was a Pharisee. He said, I was a Hebrew. I was a Pharisee of a Pharisee. I had it all. I had a zeal, you know. Man, he had it made. He studied under Gamaliel, thought he was right, had a knowledge. Amen. Had knowledge of the Word of God. But, you know, one day, the Bible says, he said, verse 10, he said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against him. He at one time, he spoke out against those that believed in Jesus Christ. He put him in prison. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Where did Paul end up? Writing? Where did he write most of his letters? From prison. You know why? Because he put the prison there. But you know what? He come there, and he began to write letters. Amen. Hallelujah. He must reach out to Caesar. He must reach out to the Gentile world because he had dual citizenship. He said, I punched them off in every synagogue. Compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted even the strange city. I mean, he was so mad, he was so zealous, he went to the strange city. He just looked for somebody that believed in this Jesus as a persecutor. But you know what? When he found that Jesus himself, when he found his own purpose, we're going to find out here. Well, it says at midday, verse 13, he said, O king, I saw the way of light from heaven. Have the brightness of the sun shining around about me, and them that journey with me. Oh, hallelujah. He was on a journey, church. There were men with him. They were on a journey to persecute everyone that believed in Jesus Christ. But God changed his travel plans. God changed his purpose in the midst of a day.
Yes.
God became a light. Amen, a light. Amen. You know, there's a lot of you that are going by the light of the day. The light of the day, but I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a light shining brighter than the noonday sun tonight.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus. He's the bright morning star. Amen. Amen. Above the brightness of the sun. Verse 14, and when we're all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, in other words, against the goad. And I said, who art thou, Lord? Lord, who are you? Oh, church tonight, who is he to you? Who is he to you tonight? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You know what happens every time you say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I don't have to go to church. How many of you know tonight there are thousands and thousands of people right now? There are some of you. You're gathered in caves, you're gathered in basements, you're gathered in the hidden things. Some of you are hazarding your life to hear to this broadcast. And then there's other people in the world. I don't have to go. But you're gathering in the name. There are some of you, amen, that are gathering in the name of Jesus Christ in hidden places because you're persecuted because of your faith and your belief in Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
There's many of you underneath the sound of my voice that are hazarding your lives to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ right now, even as you're listening to it.
Amen.
On these broadcasts that we're getting this week. My hat's off to you. I my honor to you tonight because of what you're doing. The church tonight, we do not need to say, I don't have to go to church, when the Word of God says, yes, you do have to go to church. Why wouldn't you go? The Bible says not to love in word, but in deed and in truth. Truly and indeed you would love. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. He just wants to stay by the door. He just wants to stay by Jesus. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. How can we use that excuse? The Bible says there was a marriage supper of the king's son. Amen. Invitation. Amen. And the Bible says they all with one consent begin to make excuse. Well, I just found a wife, and I just bought some oxen, and I just found some land. They all begin with all consent with one excuse. Do you know that the time the Bible says that those who would come, and then the invitation went out, and then they went to the highways and byways and compelled them to come in, and then even the house wasn't full, the marriage wasn't full. Amen. You need to know that marriage was the marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You need to know that that king was the God the Father. You need to know that the messenger, that you know what, you're receiving an invitation to the marriage of the Lamb right now. This word of God that's going out to you right now, those of you, you need to know that those that initially received this invitation have not come. There are many making consent not to come to the word of God and the marriage of the Lamb. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to prophesy because of prophesying in the word of God. The Bible says that those that were first invited will get to the place where that would not come. They'll get to the place where they cannot come.
Yeah, come on.
Church, don't get to a place tonight where you can't come to Jesus.
Amen.
Get to the place that you're receiving that. There's an invitation. There's a call. Whom he justified, I've already said to you tonight. Whom he justified, he's already called. Every one of you has been called to come. Every one of you has been called to supper time. It's supper time, church. It's time for us to come home. Amen. That's the Father. Why wouldn't we come to the Father's house? He said, my house is full, amen, but my fields are empty. There are many that don't want to work the field. There are many that don't want to go out there. There are many that don't want to put their hands in the plow. You have a purpose tonight, church. We have a purpose to carry the word of God. And the Bible says that in verse 16, he said, but rise and stand upon thy feet, talking to Saul, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Oh, hallelujah. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in that which I will appear in thee. Every time he makes an appearance, every time the Lord Jesus Christ made an appearance, he said, you're going to be a minister and a witness unto these things. I've appeared unto you right now. How many of you have seen Jesus? Oh, it's not about seeing him. Amen. I see him in his word. I see him in the trees. I see him in his creation. Come on, church. I see him. Amen.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
Yeah, I've seen Jesus just like an apostle. I've seen him because the Bible says when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Every time I don't have a Facebook account, but I got a word of God before me right now, and I'm in my Facebook account right now. I've got the word of God open to Acts chapter 26, and I'm talking face to face, just like Moses did, face to face to God, because this is his word. He's speaking to me, and he's speaking to me. I'm relaying to you. These are portions. Amen. This is my purpose here tonight, that to make me and Brother Eddie and Brother and Sister Green and Brother Lloyd and Sister Betty Earwood and Brother Timothy Dockery and all these other Brother Bob and Sister Connie and all of you that are coming in, Brother Hicks and Brother Hall and all these, I can't name them all, the brother down there, Varnell, all you ones and Barnum fans, all these ones that are coming in, there's just multitudes and multitudes. We're all one ministry, amen, coming together. We have our ministry that we're reaching out, but we're reaching out to the world, amen, and God has given us an opportunity to give you his word, and this is the reason why we're here tonight. He said, delivering me from the people and from the Gentiles, amen, for whom now I send thee. God sent, the Bible says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Church, tonight you've been sent by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been sent to carry his gospel. You've been sent to carry his word. You've been sent, amen. Years ago, amen, here in America, they had what they called the Holy Express. Amen. That was long before, amen, and they would take her, and there were riders there, and they would get a fresh horse, and they would go from post to post, just like they were talking about. The word of God, the church is the filling station, church. You can't go miles and miles. You know what? A lot of you trying to get to heaven by your hybrids, amen? But you know what? You can only go so far on a charge, amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know what? You're trying to save some money. You need to sit down and count the cost tonight, church. You need to sit down, amen, and count the cost. Amen. And hallelujah. There's a presentation. And if you're dying dead and you're giving your life and you're too busy tonight, let me tell you something. If you're too busy to go to church, if you're too busy to go to the house of God, you're too busy because you know what? You're busy to say, amen. What did Jesus say? How many? In fact, he even told Mary, his mother, she come in and he said, he said, we saw for you. He said, how is it that he saw for me? He said, wish you didn't I'd be about my father's business. In other words, it took you 2 days to find me. Well, why did you go any place else but my father's house? Why did you go to any place else but my father's temple? Where do you think I was going to be? Jake, where do you think God's going to be tonight? But you need to know, individually, your body is the temple and the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. As he comes, if he's coming down and visiting you, you know, some of you just want him to, you know, some of you just want to keep him as an overnight guest. Some of you, well, you know, you want the prestige, you want the social status, like the one man that invited him to come in and amen. Here comes Mary with the alabaster box, and she breaks the alabaster box and spiked her nord, and they come out there. And you know what? You know what they said? His own disciples said, "We're talking about purpose tonight. For what purpose was this waste? That you poured out this oil, this anointing, your spite, your oil. This could have been sold and given to the poor." Judas said that, and you know why? Because he carried the bag. He carried the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
He thought, well, you know what? That was a waste. You poured it out on him. I could have took and sold it and got 300 people. I mean, I could have, well, you know. We're talking about the betrayer. We're talking about those, amen, that surrounded him. Jesus knew who was among him. He said,
yeah,
I have chosen 12 of you, and one of you is the devil. Amen. You have an opportunity tonight. You have a purpose tonight, church. You can be the devil, the most devil in hell. You can be filled, but you know what? Tonight, it's time for you to be filled. Amen. With a high octane of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the pure premium. Amen. The Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. The pure, undefiled Spirit of the living God. This is your purpose tonight. Hallelujah. He said to open their eyes and to turn thee from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. He told Agrippa that. He said, Agrippa, I saw, and I'm to receive an inheritance that's in the Father. I'm to receive an inheritance that will take me from darkness into light and from the power of Satan into the kingdom of God. You know what King Agrippa said? Tonight, don't be like Agrippa. Well, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. You almost persuaded me to be Christ-like. You almost. But church tonight in the kingdom of God almost won't get it. Almost will get you all the way into hell and torment tonight. What's the choice? He said, I set before thee life and death. Therefore choose life that thou and thy seed may live. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. He said, as for me and my house, whatever God you served before, Elijah told him, he said, how long halt you between two opinions? You know what, tonight? Now I won't even go there. The Bible says, a double-minded man shall receive nothing of the Lord. But you know what? You know better off. But amen. God said to make a decision. Make a decision.
Yeah.
But he said,
amen.
He said, will you serve the gods before, like the Amorites before the flood? He said, make a choice. Serve the God. You know what? There is a God of this world. His name is Satan.
Amen?
And which God are you trusting in? You know, we have a banner over here. We have, the license plate that says, in God we trust. We have it on our money. But which God are they trusting in?
Come on.
Which God are we trusting in? Because we have a one-eyed single God on the back of our money. That's not the God of heaven. Over a pyramid. What God are you trusting in? It's a pagan God. I won't even get into that. Amen. I won't even get an opportunity. Amen. I'll just leave that alone. But you know what? What God do you serve in? Because there's only one God tonight. There's only one true and living God. Amen. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know what? You know
amen.
What Nathaniel said? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Amen. As he come and he followed, amen. Here was Nathaniel, amen, sending an eat of fig tree in John chapter 1. Amen and hallelujah. He said, Thou art Nathanael. He said, I saw the end of the fig tree. You know what Nathanael said? Thou art the Son of God. He began to declare because Jesus had declared unto him. He said, that's nothing. He said, hereafter, thou shalt see angels descending and ascending on the Son of Man.
Amen.
Oh, greater things tonight. Church, there's greater things for you tonight. There's greater things. There's eye-opening experience tonight. Will you come and find your purpose? Your purpose tonight is for one purpose, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and
yeah.
make him Lord and Savior of your life right now. Lord of healing. You know what? The Bible says healing is the children's bread.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Healing is the children's bread. You know, there was a Syrophoenician woman. She just wanted her daughter to be delivered of demonic oppression, healed by the power of God. She kept calling. She said, heal my daughter. He said, healing the children's bread. She said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs receive the crumbs from the master's table. You know, there will be many people tonight that will call in, amen, needing healings. There will be many people that have their eye, that need their eyes open and their ears open, and maybe they even at the point of death. And tonight, church, it's not just about being healed. How, will you be made whole? That's what he asked. Will you be made whole? How do you be made whole? By the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
Because here's tonight. It's very important for us to receive healing. I understand that. It's very have you received his wholeness tonight. Is he your Lord and Savior? Because you know what? It's not just to take some of his benefits. Why don't you receive it all? Why don't you make him both Lord and Christ of your life? Why don't you make him Lord of all things of your life? For your healing. For the prosperity. And when I say prosperity, I'm talking about spiritual prosperity. I'm telling you, when you have that, you're going to have all prosperity. You're going to have his favor. You're going to have the things. Tonight, why don't you just make him Lord and Savior of your life? Why don't you just call on him right now? Right now, as we're speaking, find out your purpose. Your purpose
Amen.
Is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. Bible says it is written, in the temptation of Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, he come out of the wilderness. He had been fasting for 40 days. Thou be the Son of God. Command these stones to be made bread. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Church, tonight you need to know, amen, that bread is not enough to sustain you, but every one of us underneath the sound of my voice that have an ear to hear, let you hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You have to have the whole word of God tonight, church.
Amen.
From Genesis chapter 1 to the last book in Revelations. You must live it, amen, and it must be in you. Tonight, amen, hallelujah, at the temptation. He took him up to the pinnacle of the temple. He said, it is written, thou shalt give his angels charge over thee, thou shalt, and that's put against the stone. But it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, amen, tonight, church.
Amen.
You need to know something, amen, that the enemy will tempt you and try you even with the word of God. But he'll
yeah.
leave a word out, or he'll add a word. You need to know tonight, amen, that there's the one true living word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's all you need tonight to live on the inside of you to make him both Lord and Christ. Though there be many lords and many Christs, there's an acknowledgement of the Son. When you have an acknowledgement of the Son, the Bible says you have the Father also. But if you only acknowledge the Father, you have not the Son. And there again it goes with the B. When you appear at the end, amen, you have to have that sacrifice, and that sacrifice is the Passover lamb, and that sacrifice, just as Evangelist Brother Eddie brought it out already, for this purpose. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, was that he came made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Church, tonight, I'm going to turn back over to Brother Eddie. Your purpose is to be sons of God. One purpose. God's purpose is he came upon this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. Tonight, if you're lost, Christ has come to find you. His word is here right now. As I turn it back over to Brother Eddie, find your purpose. And your purpose, you have one purpose in life tonight, is to serve the Lord Christ. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Enjoy that. Jesus said, if a man have 99 sheep, or have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, he'd leave the 99 and go out and seek and save that which is lost. He'd seek him until he found him. And said when he found him, he'd lay him on his shoulder and bring him back. He said, so shall it be with someone that's saved, someone that comes to the Lord. He said there'd be more rejoicing in heaven over one lost man coming in, or one lost person coming in, than over the righteous. God is wanting to save people tonight. God is wanting to regenerate you into the family of God. You might say, I've not got any peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He'll give you peace. He'll give you strength. He'll help you. And he'll help you to live, and he'll help you to stand.
Yes.
God was talking about some of you being in basements, and some of you in hiding, to keep from being caught by the authorities because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus will give you, he'll give you that strength. I want to read you a few verses of scripture here in the first book of first chapter of Acts, starting in verse 4. It said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. In verse 5 it said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. Verse 8. Now listen to this. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. God wants to give you the power you need to stand. This Holy Ghost has been given that we might receive power, that we might be a witness. And this Spirit of God, this Holy Ghost, will help you to open your mouth and to witness to people. And now God has got a work for you to do. You might say, brother, I don't feel called to do nothing but to go out to the house of God. When you begin, Jesus said in one place, Peter said it, to draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. As you begin to seek God and begin to ask God what he'd have you to do, the way that Paul did on the road to Damascus when the Lord appeared to him and the light was brighter than the noonday sun as John got into there. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And they took him and they led him into Damascus. He was blind. And then the Lord appeared unto Ananias and told him to go down and to see Paul, to go down and to pray for Paul. And Ananias was afraid. And he said, Lord, I've heard what things he's done to your people. And the Lord told him that he'd show him what great things he must suffer for his namesake. And there's brothers and sisters throughout the world tonight behind the Iron Curtain, behind the Bamboo Curtain, behind the Islamic Curtain that's suffering for the name of Christ. And I want to encourage you, in the Lord to be faithful. Oh, listen to me today. God will give you the power you need. God will send his angel. When Peter was in jail, Herod had done kill James, and he intended after Easter to kill Peter. And he commanded Peter to be put into the inner prison, and he put four quaternions of soldiers there. Peter was laying there asleep. And the next day he was getting ready to be killed. But the Lord sent his angel and woke him up, told him to get up, to bind his sandals on him. And he got up, and the Bible said the shackles fell off of him. And the cell doors opened up. And as they went out, the cell doors opened before them until they was out. And the angel stayed with him until he was outside. And when they got outside, the angel disappeared. And Peter went down to John Mark's house. And the Bible said the church was praying without ceasing. And they prayed, and Peter knocked on the door. And there was a girl there. She went to him and said, it's Peter. It's Peter. And they said, oh, it's his angel. And she held fast. She went, and they opened the door, and Peter come in. And Peter went on his way. If Herod's purpose was to kill Peter, But God's purpose was that Peter had a work to do. And I want to encourage you, because I told you a while ago when I was preaching that there wasn't anything going to happen until God gets done with you. And I want to encourage you to carry on in the work of the Lord. Let this Holy Ghost lead you. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, I tell you what, I don't know what I'd do tonight if it wasn't for the Spirit of God leading and guiding and directing us. Because God is with us to help us and to keep us. And I want to encourage you to, if you have any prayer requests tonight, to email them at Eddie Bolton, that's EddieBolton at att.net. That's Eddie Bolton at att.net. And we'll pray for them. And if there's prayer requests, even after this broadcast goes off, that you email me, I will pray over them. And I want you to continue to pray for Brother Yearwood and Brother and Sister Green in this revival. They're going tonight. They'll be back down there tomorrow night. And that God would just use them greatly. And John, have you got anything else you'd like to say, brother?
I'd like to remind the people, you know, the Macedonian call, you know, which is Brother and Sister Green's broadcast, is on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 12 a.m. They're on an hour, and their number will be 347-989-8862. And so just remember that they call. We've had an opportunity through all these, and we're hoping that other broadcasts from our ministries that are collectively coming together, that we'll be able to reach out even more. But God is blessing each one of these broadcasts. So just remember to continue to tune in. Have your family members go to others. And, Andrew first found his own brother. And so just find those and come and just gather around, and so that we can hear the word of God and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so that many can be saved, be delivered, be set free by the power of God, be filled with his Spirit, and so that we can live and so be joy unspeakable and full of glory, Brother Eddie.
God bless you, John.
I thank
God for this opportunity to host this broadcast. I thank God for each one that's listening. And I pray that something that's been said or said here tonight that would bless you, that would minister to you, that would cause you to draw closer unto the Lord, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, I tell you tonight, folks, it's the greatest thing in the world. I know when I was away from the Lord, God called me to preach. I was in Vietnam. God called me to preach. I rejected that call. And it took me about 4.5 or 5 years to get back to the Lord. But you know what? When I got back to the Lord hadn't forgot that call. And if God has spoken to you, he's not forgot what he's told you. And brother, I want you to know tonight, when I come back to the Lord about 4.5 or 5 years after that, the Lord, on a Sunday morning in 1973, the Lord spoke to me again about the ministry. And that was, like I said, it's about 4.5 or 5 years between the call, but God hadn't forgot. The Bible says in the book of Romans that the gifts and the callings of God is without repentance. And if God has called you into the ministry, then I encourage you to get on into the ministry. If he calls you to teach, I encourage you to get in and begin to study the Word of God and begin to get into that ministry.
Yeah.
There's also the calling of an apostle, according to Ephesians 4:11, and there's a calling of a prophet.
What?
There's a calling of an evangelist.
Yes.
There's a calling of a pastor and a teacher.
Yes. Yes.
And God will bless you, and he'll lead you, he'll guide you, and he'll direct you. We've got a minute and 45 seconds left. John, would you take us out in prayer, please?
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
thank
Father,
you, Jesus,
all across this world that you have created, and Father,
Lord,
I ask
pray,
you
Father,
right
in
now,
Jesus' name,
that
tonight,
your purpose will be established in us.
Yes,
Ecclesiastes
chapter 3, that there's a time and a purpose in all things, that there's a season. Father, right now is a season for your children, your creation, to raise up in the name of Jesus. I bind darkness, I bind infirmities, I bind in the name of Jesus Christ. I call for a loosening and releasing, Father, a deliverance of the whole world in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind Satan, I bind the devil, I bind the serpent, I bind the red dragon, I bind the pride of life, I bind the spirit of Antichrist. I bind all false religions and false teachings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that this day, this hour, we declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ would go throughout all the earth, for all power in heaven and earth has been given unto thee. And Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would shake heaven and earth this night, this hour, that God, that they would feel your presence, that all across the world, multitudes, thousands and thousands, would be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, in the power of the Holy Ghost, that healings all across this land right now in the name of Jesus, that deliverance all across this world in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Lord, eyes would be opened, Lord, those that are at the point of death be raised again in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, this night, this hour, we give you the very glory and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we give you all glory and honor, and Lord, your word will not return unto you void. And Father, we just bow down to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
John?